Not the last time, the last, but one time at the end of January, I was talking about how Jesus had called us to be fishers of people. Does anyone remember watching the Wicked Tuna clips? Yeah, these American, Alaskan fishermen hauling these great big tuna into the boat. And it's not easy catching fish. Okay, Jesus knows that. And so we need his help. So just a quick recap. What I said last time was that our identity comes from our Creator God and from our Rescuer, his Son. We're created in his image to be fruitful and to multiply, to rule over the earth as his children and to put things right again. God the Father is a missionary who went looking for Adam and Eve when they disobeyed and rejected him in the garden. Remember, he said, "Where are you?" And then he went looking for them. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is a missionary. He said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom payment for many to be set free." In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, "I came to seek and save the lost." And I can remember a time in my life when I was lost. I was on my own. I was living for myself. And things were dark. And things were not good. And I can remember God using someone, it was a German guy, to speak his voice into my life and say, "John, I'm calling you home. I'm calling you back to me. Turn around and follow me." And it took me a few years of stubbornly resisting and fighting God before in the end I held up my hands and said, "Okay, God, you win. I'm going to give my life to you and I'm going to come back home." And that's when Jesus found me. And that's when Jesus gave me a purpose for my life. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And he sent us as missionaries to continue the work he began of calling God's lost children back home to our Daddy God. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples that as soon as he was raised from the dead, he said to them, "Peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Just tell the person next to you, Jesus is saying to you, "I'm sending you." David, Jesus is sending you. Okay? Do we all know that we've been sent? Yes. You're on a mission from God, as the Blues Brothers said in a famous film many years ago. But this is serious. It's not, you know, this is our purpose of being on the earth. Okay? We're not here by accident. And so imagine how many of us were born in a different country to the UK. It's great to have some other multi-ethnic church, because I've been to some events recently where everyone's white British, and you kind of think, something wrong here. So whether you were born in another country and you've come here, or whether you were born here, I want you to imagine being sent to another country as a missionary. So those of you that were born somewhere else, this is an extra edge. You are here as missionaries. Okay, that's why you've come here. Okay, but imagine that you've been sent to another country as a missionary. And what would you do? Then the kind of things you would do, a missionary would do, is you'd get to know the language of the local people, what they like to eat, and try and hang out with them when they're eating together. If they dress differently to you, you might want to change the way you dress, so that, you know, you feel more part of them. You might want to adopt some of their customs. And I suppose those of you that have come from other countries, were born in other countries, you've had to do that in the UK. And you may want to shop at the same places where they go to the same restaurants, get to know people, be a blessing to them, build relationships and make friendships over time. And that is really what Jesus did when he came to the earth. That's the way he would eat and drink with people. In fact, he got into trouble with the religious hypocrites for eating too much and drinking too much with people. Not too much alcohol, I mean, with too many sinful people. He wouldn't have got drunk. But he was a real party person, was Jesus. And so... What are the obstacles to us living like Jesus did as missionaries here in the UK, here in Coventry. I think the first obstacle that we all face is part of our culture, is the question, who is really number one in my life? Who is first and central in my heart and life? Is it King Jesus or is it myself? And because we live in a culture where people are generally putting themselves first, and everything they're doing is revolving around what's comfortable for them. They've made perhaps comfort the king of their life, and we don't want to do that, because Jesus said, in this world you will not have a comfortable time. That's John 16 verse 33. Things will not be easy, things will not just be wonderful all the time. He said you will have trouble, and that word means stress, it means pressure. It's like external pressure. It's not coming from God, it's coming from this fallen, messed up world with crazy people in it who can be violent and foul-mouthed and unkind and deceitful and treacherous and unfaithful. That's where trouble comes from. But Jesus said, don't be depressed. Be encouraged, because I have overcome this world. This world threw everything at Jesus it could. People hated him, not everybody, just the religious hypocrites hated him. People in power who were threatened by him hated him. But he continued to love people back, even to the extent of letting them nail him to a cross and saying from a cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing to me. And he overcame, and because he overcame, we are going to overcome too. The second obstacle, the first obstacle is overcoming my own selfishness. You know, because I get home from church, oh, I'm tired. In fact, after church, we're going to Rita's for the next Storyform Way session, and you're welcome to do that. We're going to move on from the Old Testament to New Testament with the birth and life of Jesus today. But, you know, you get home tired, oh, I just want to think about me. I just want to think about me, to have some me time and all the rest of it. But, you know, Jesus showed us that he lived for God 24/7. And he was available. People sometimes came to him at inconvenient times. Nicodemus came to him late at night. Crowds came to him across the lake when he just tried to get away for a bit of a break. And Jesus would always respond with love, and we need to be the same way. Love is the way to overcome self-centeredness and to let Jesus be the king of our lives. Amen. The second obstacle is thinking that church is just about going to meetings, instead of realizing that you and me, we are the church. So wherever we go, there's church there. So think about where you're going to be tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Okay, where are you going to be? Have you got that in your mind? Or where are you going to be, a weekday evening this week? That's where church is, because you are there. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am. So really, one thing, I'm going to invite one of the guys from the Jog Club to come to the pub this week with a few members of the church here just together, and I'm thinking maybe a couple of people, and that will be church in that pub. I'm going to go to the Signal Box pub, and that will be church there. Okay, we won't be having James popping up with his guitar from behind a couple of seats and suddenly start singing five songs, and I won't suddenly get my Bible out and talk for half an hour, but it will be church, because church is not about those things. It's not about James's guitar or John or Tim or someone speaking from the front. Tell the person next to you, I'm the church. Okay? So you can have, Jesus has called us to live church in our homes, over our meal tables, and in our leisure time. We go to the sports centre and play sports, when we go to the workplace or school. And that's another obstacle to overcome in your mindset. I'm a missionary tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, wherever I am, or throughout this week, that I'm going to live for Jesus. The third obstacle is my lack of faith that Jesus really is good news for the people I'm with through the week. Amen. Jesus came as God the Son. He came to show the world what God his Father is truly like. The good news is a person. So we've got good news to share with the world, and it's all about a person. Sometimes you can meet someone who doesn't know Jesus and you can start talking to them and they realize you're a Christian and they more automatically want to start asking you about church or stuff like that. But a good tip is get off church and onto Jesus. Start talking about Jesus, because people can fault find the church. Maybe they've had a negative experience, or maybe they were forced to go to some school and religion was rammed down their throat. So the sooner you can get people onto the subject of Jesus Christ, the better, because they can't find fault with him unless they've been misinformed about him. And Jesus came as God the Son. This is the good news that we're all called to share with as many people as we can before we die and go and join the party in heaven. This is the good news, that Jesus came as God the Son, becoming a man, so that he could show the world what God the Father is really like. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. Some people read bits of the Old Testament and don't fully understand the context and the story that is being told there, and they assume that tells them what God's like. And that's just like getting, if you'd never met me and you got a photo of me, but you just tore one little fragment of like my cheek and gave that to someone, so that's what John's like, particularly if it had a spot on it, or I've got some funny things on my face, and they think, oh, that's not very nice. Is that really John? No, that's just a part of me. But when you see the whole picture, you see what a wonderful person I am, maybe. I don't know. But Jesus gives us the full picture of what the Father's like. So if people have got the wrong impression of what God's like through bits of the Old Testament, or what they've seen on TV or heard Richard Dawkins or other people going on about, what they need is to have a good, clear picture of Jesus. Okay? So Jesus... Jesus came to show the world what God the Father is really like, and he came to call them back to God and to the perfect family that God is creating. There's a place in God's family for every person who will say yes to Jesus. I was reading this week about when Jesus was betrayed in the Last Supper, and then when Judas took the soldiers to arrest him in the garden, and Judas kissed Jesus, Jesus responded to him and he called him friend. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus knew full well, this guy, Satan has got a hold of this guy and he is betraying me. He wants me dead, or he doesn't realize that that's going to be the result of what he's doing. And yet Jesus called him friend. And so Jesus, until someone breathes their last breath, there is an opportunity for them to be part of God's family. So no matter how badly people behave, don't let that stop you sharing Jesus with them, because that could be all they need. The Apostle Paul was a real bad boy before Jesus knocked him off his horse or whatever he was on, okay? And it was because some Christians had been sharing Jesus with him up to that point that encounter, he immediately surrendered to Jesus, because he knew who it was talking to him. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Okay? It's an amazing question, isn't it? Who are you, Lord? Okay, so in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told this story. We're going to make this personal, then we're going to get into small groups and pray together. So don't doze off. Just prod the person next to you and say, "This is for you." Hallelujah. So Luke chapter 15. Jesus told them a story. If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Let's party, rejoice with me, because I've found my lost sheep." And it was great to hear Leroy share that it's just 4 years ago since he came to the Lord. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to hear this year, 2016, to hear lots more stories of people coming to meet Jesus? Those of you that have been to Soul Survivor, which we're taking a group to this summer, one of the best things is that every meeting, hundreds of young people whose friends have taken them to that festival. Sometimes they don't tell them it's a Christian festival. They just say, "Oh, come, I'm going to a great summer festival." And they turn up. Oh, what's this? you know, they go to the worship times. What am I feeling here? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And then they just stream to the front and give their lives to Jesus. And it's wonderful to see that. And that's part of our life as missionaries for Jesus, that we can expect that. So here's my question. I want us all to think about one lost sheep that we know. Think about one person that you know, one of your friends, someone, if you've got a friend who knows you're a Christian and is not, doesn't hate you, but is actually still friendly with you when they know you're a Christian, then let's think about how do we do what Jesus said in this story? How do we go looking for that lost sheep? Because they could be in a real mess. You know, they could have secret addiction problems. They could be having suicidal thoughts that we don't realize about. You know, they're putting on a face for us. Who knows what's going on in their lives? So step one, could we pray for them regularly? Maybe you're already doing this. How many of us are already praying regularly for a friend who isn't a Christian yet? That's good. So think about them then as we think about this. A good tip is to do what Jesus did. Get to know this person as well as we can. That's part of loving someone, showing an interest, giving them attention, being interested in them. How do you do that if you're an introvert? Some tips. Ask them good questions. Get to know about their family. Do they have any brothers and sisters? Where do they live? Do they have any children? Get to know about their past experiences. You know, where were you born? Where did you grow up? Where have you been on holiday? Get to know them as well as you can. Listen to their stories that they tell you. And that will give us the right to share our stories and our experiences with them. And invite them into your life. Be hospitable. Jesus ate with people a lot. And you know, we eat 21 times a week, typically. That's a lot of meals. So think about, is there one of those 21 meals each week that I could invite a friend to come and join me with? So you could maybe take them to McDonald's or invite them to your family home. Join in. We've got a friend of Rachel's that comes and eats with us every week. And that's a blessing. So if you live as part of a family, maybe if you personally don't have a friend that you could invite, maybe another member of your family does that you could invite to eat with you or come round for a coffee or whatever. And then think about how you would treat this person if they were a family member. Because if you know Jesus, you know in your spirit how to love others in a good, to be kind and gentle and faithful and forgiving, and be that way to that person. Treat them as if they were a member of your family. That's how Jesus did people. You know, he didn't say to the disciples, right, on Sunday at 11 o'clock, I want you to go to the synagogue in Capernaum. I'm going to lecture you for an hour. I want you to bring your notepads, write it all down. And then go out for the rest of the week on your fishing boats, wherever you are, do what I tell you, and I'll see you the next week again. That's not how Jesus discipled people. He discipled people in the way we're just talking about. He was friendly. He invited them into his life. They ate together. They did things together. They talked together. They got to know each other. Jesus treated his disciples like they were his brothers. His own brothers had rejected him. They didn't think he was the Messiah. So Jesus, and some of us have maybe had that experience with family members, but when that happens, God will always have spiritual family to put you with, both Christians to encourage each other and to be encouraged by, and not yet Christians, which is what we're talking about right now, that you can disciple. And invite them to meet your Christian friends, because where two or three are gathered, what's special? Two or three Christians are gathered? Jesus is there. So if I meet Brian from the job club, who's got a job the other week, he's really chuffed with me, so I'm striking while the iron's hot. He thinks I'm wonderful. So if I invite Brian just to meet up with me, that's good, because I can share Jesus with him. But if I invite him to meet up with two or three others and me, of people here, he's coming to church, yeah? He may not realize it, but he's two or three of us are gathered and Brian's come along and he's going to church. It won't be in this building, that's for sure. But church has gone to Brian. And that's what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and share me with people. Okay? So if you've got friends, not yet Christian friends, invite them to things where they can meet your Christian brothers and sisters. Okay? So 87 is an opportunity to do that. And so see if there's, have a pray this week and say, is there someone I can invite to 87? Could be a work colleague, could be a neighbour. not just 87 though. When I went down to Soul Survivor Church a few weeks ago, they had this supernatural conference. I picked up this little card, and they do regular events. They do a movie night. They do a craft night. They do a quiz night. They do a sort of romantic evening for couples night. They do a roller disco. I ought to go to that one. Rachel will tell you about my roller disco skills if you haven't heard about those. Family bowling night, and this is for church members. They have they have events that are green, events that are yellow, and events that are red. Green events are purely social, so no one's talking about Jesus. You're just bowling or whatever you're doing, or Laser Quest, or playing Counter Strike. Orange events is where someone's going to talk about Jesus or pray, or there might be a Christian movie or something. And red events are like Easter Sunday. Come to church and hear what they're all about, the resurrection. So this, I thought that was a really good idea. So I thought maybe as this year progresses, we could mix it up a bit. As well as going out to 87, someone wants to organise a computer games event or a Laser Quest trip or a pamper evening or whatever, do your nails evening or whatever. I won't go to that one. But it's just thinking about opportunities where you can invite the friends you're praying for to come and meet some Christians. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to stop and we're going to get into twos or threes. If you'd rather not pray with your spouse, then go and swap, go and join another group. But, I mean, for a change, I'm sure you love praying together because we have blessed Christian marriages in this church. I think you know what I mean. Might have to edit this message on the tape. But let's just pray together for our people of peace, okay? And pray about next Sunday. If you come into 87, even if you can't bring a friend, just come expecting, Lord, who can I be friendly to who's coming to 87? And also pray about other opportunities where you can invite your friends to meet some of your brothers and sisters from church doing something fun and social. Let's pray.